Well, tomorrow's the official Thanksgiving holiday recognized by federal law. But today's Thanksgiving Sunday. And so it's a day to be thankful. And while we should be thankful every day, you know, I was sharing with my Muslim counterpart one day that, you know, we were having Thanksgiving in Canada. And he said, well, what's that about? And I said, it's a day to give thanks. And he said, well, aren't you thankful every day? He kind of caught me in the middle of that. I think it's indeed appropriate to have at least one special day in the year designated as a day especially for the giving of thanks. And I hope that this weekend, all during this weekend, you will pause many times from the hustle and bustle of your busy lives to deliberately spend some time giving thanks. Yesterday morning on my early morning walk, I was walking up around the top end of Chesley Lake Camp, and there's an older gentleman paused there with a camera taking picture of the red maple leaves that are so beautiful this time of year. And I thought, here's somebody from the city, obviously, that's never seen this before, hasn't seen it recently. And we're just surrounded with it here in Bruce County every day. And wow, what a great time of the year to be thankful. And so I hope that you would practice this weekend being thankful. You know, such activity, this business of giving thanks, it might well be considered as one of our good spiritual disciplines. You know, we have spiritual disciplines that we consider, things like prayer and Bible study and worship. And why wouldn't we put the giving of thanks into that category of spiritual disciplines? If we think about our busy lives for a moment, we will realize that without some discipline, a lot of bad things can happen. For example, without discipline for our body's needs for exercise, if we don't exercise some discipline in that area, we could run into trouble. If we don't have any discipline concerning our diet for our bodies, we might well be undernourished. Or, of course, we could go the other way. Without discipline in getting to work on time, we may well lose our job. And without disciplining yourself to bring a pumpkin pie to the fall feast, you may not be allowed in. So some discipline. Likewise, without discipline, without being deliberate about the practicing of giving thanks, this part of our spiritual life will be undernourished and may even shrivel and die. So let's be deliberate about the giving of thanks. Make sure that you include the giving of thanks in your daily devotions, and perhaps even establish a separate time from your other prayer times for the exclusive purpose of giving thanks. But in addition to the thanks that can be part of a disciplined approach, there's also the possibility of developing a knack for the spontaneous giving of thanks. And I've just talked about one of those things that might motivate us, like the fall leaves. And maybe you've already developed that knack, that you just have made this habit of, when you see something like that, you pause and give thanks. Be observant to the things around us. For example, pausing to admire the beauty of the fall season, which surely should motivate us to the spontaneous giving of thanks. As you drive along the roads this month, make note of the countless acres of wonderful crops being harvested at this time of year, and allow what you see to populate your minds with spontaneous words of thanksgiving. Now, the Canadian practice for a special day of giving thanks to God in the context of Christianity has a rich and long-standing heritage. I just want to consider one aspect of that this morning. There was a special Thanksgiving service in Canada that can be traced back to Frobisher's 1578 voyage in search of the Northwest Passage. That's over 400 years ago. During his voyage to the Baffin Island area in the present Canadian territory of Nunavut, Frobisher intended to start a small settlement, and so his fleet of 15 ships carried men, material, and provisions for his project. However, he lost one of the ships through collisions with ice. The ship intended much of the building material, included much of the building material, and so he was prevented from establishing this new colony. The entire expedition was plagued by ice and freak storms, which battered and scattered the fleet. Eventually, they were able to meet and reassemble at their anchorage in Frobisher Bay. It was there that Robert Wolfel, a learned man appointed by Her Majesty's Council to be their minister and preacher, preached a godly sermon, exhorting them especially to be thankful to God for their strange and miraculous deliverance in such a dangerous place. They celebrated communion there, and this celebration of divine communion was the first proclamation of Christ's name, proclamation of his death and passion in the New World territory that would become Canada. So Christianity and what would eventually become Canada actually began with a Thanksgiving service. For many years before it was declared a national holiday in 1879, the Thanksgiving holiday was celebrated in either late October or early November. From 1879 onward, Thanksgiving Day has been observed every year, the date initially being a Thursday in November. The date of celebration changed several times until in 1957, it was officially declared to be the second Monday in October. Now, in the early years, the theme of the Thanksgiving holiday also changed each year. The theme was changed and established by the government to reflect an important event or an important aspect for which the people of Canada were to thank God for. For example, in one year, the government designated to be a day of thanks for an abundant harvest. And in another year, it was for a special anniversary. Now, it's hard to picture that happening in our country today, that the government would pause and think and say, let's tell all the people of Canada to thank God for, and that's just not going to happen, is it? So we as Christians certainly have to pick up the slack and be thankful. So that practice is long gone. Now, it is true that we are indeed citizens of Canada, and there are many things associated with our country that we should deeply appreciate and for which we should give thanks. But we are, at least I hope that every one of us here today, are also citizens of a heavenly kingdom. And there are countless blessings associated with the second aspect of our dual citizenship for which we should be eager to return thanks. So today, I want to give you just a little mental exercise here. I'd like you to pause for a moment to think about and make a note of the three most significant things, people or events in your life for which you would be most thankful. Just take a minute to think about it. What are the three most dramatic, if you will, or important things in your life, people, events, that you would pause and give thanks for? We'll come back to it a little later in the message. Now, I'm sure that most of us would have little trouble in coming up with three or more significant things in our life for which we are thankful. And I hope as believers, the one that rises to the top would be the person named Jesus. After all, without our Lord, without his sacrifice on the cross, without him dying, we would not have the opportunity to find forgiveness for sins. Paul ends his 2 Corinthians chapter 9 with this verse well worth memorizing on this Thanksgiving Day. He writes, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. His unspeakable gift. The New Testament translation, the New Living Translation translated as the gift too wonderful for words. Too wonderful for words. Jesus, who's our unspeakable gift, has provided the way for our sins to be forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, our unspeakable gift, has provided the way to set us free from guilt and shame. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, our unspeakable gift, has gone to prepare a place for us in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, our unspeakable gift, was resurrected, a resurrection that was confirmed by multiple witnesses, giving us hope and faith in our coming resurrection. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, our unspeakable gift, gives us hope in a new future, a home, a new home where sickness, where disease, and all other impacts of the curse will be destroyed for all time. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we could go on and on, but I hope these few accomplishments of Jesus on our behalf will put your heart into a thanksgiving mindset if you're not already there. We have been adopted into the family of God. We are His children, and regardless of the shaking that's going on in our world, and there seems to be lots of shaking going on in our world. We have another earthquake in Haiti. We have the volcano in that Spanish island. We have COVID around the world, and there's lots of shaking going on everywhere. But regardless of the shaking that's going on around us, we're already part of the new heavenly kingdom. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, we read this: since we are receiving a kingdom, we're becoming part of a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping Him with holy fear and awe. Now, in addition to the spiritual blessings I just mentioned, we are in Canada are blessed in an amazing way with material goods by comparison with others. The vast majority of the world has much less at their disposal than we take for granted every day. Struggles for daily food and water are the norm for millions of people around the world. I was sharing with some people at our last fellowship event that when Connie and I were in Haiti the last time, and I think it was 2018, the Haitian goud was trading at about 60 to 65 goods to the US dollar. So it took 65 goods to buy a dollar. So anything that was coming into the country, anything that was imported in the way of food, such as rice and so on, 65 goods could get you a dollar's worth of rice. And talking with Weber, our Haitian leader, recently, he was telling me that the exchange rate is now between 100 and 105. Now that says that people who are already struggling to find enough money to buy that dollar's worth of rice now have to come up with twice as much money. People struggle around the world, don't have near as much as we do, and we need to be thankful. But you know what's interesting about that is our comparative wealth does not necessarily translate into thankfulness. I spent some time in third world countries where the struggles and for food and water are the reality of everyday life. Connie and I were able to visit the Philippines a few years ago and visit a friend that we had met in the underground church in the Middle East. And all around us in that country, you see signs of poverty, signs of malnutrition, people struggling to eat. Yet in many cases, these folks are just as thankful as we are, and maybe more so. In spite of the hardships, they've been able to master Paul's instructions to the Thessalonians. As his first letter is coming to an end, in chapter 5, verse 16, Paul writes this. He said, "Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." Paul makes it pretty clear that it's God's will for believers to be thankful at all times and in all circumstances. But is that really possible? But perhaps you've read that verse, maybe even read it many times, and you say, well, not in my life. Not with all the troubles and trials that I'm going through. Not when this COVID thing goes on and on with no end in sight. No, I certainly have some things in my life to be thankful for, but in all circumstances, that's really not possible. Maybe that's the way we think. But if the Word of God says that, then this is the will of God for us, and it therefore must be possible. And I've also been privileged to meet many such believers who make thankfulness a part of their lives, regardless of the difficult circumstances. And yet, yes, even today, even as we're worshiping here in Canada, the people that I just mentioned a few moments ago who need 105 goods to buy a dollar's worth of rice, they're worshiping at Taitu and other churches in Simonette and other churches around Haiti. And their worship rises to the sky, loud and excited and enthusiastic in their worship, worshiping the God that they serve and being thankful for the little things that they have. Some of them, of course, continuing to give thanks amid the rubble of life, of a life-destroying earthquake. I think I've told you this before, and I apologize repeating it, but it makes a powerful point. I've forgotten the exact pronunciation of the guy's name. He ran for the Liberals the last time in our county. He used to be the editor of the Own Sound Times. He was in Haiti during the earthquake. Actually had gone to Haiti to follow up on us, our team that was there, because it so happened that the then term mayor of the town of South Bruce was with us on that mission trip. So anyway, he did help us in some ways. And after we got home, I had a phone call from him one day, and he said, I'd like to come out and talk to you. And I thought he was going to come and write a story about the earthquake. So he came and he sat down in my office, and I said, so, you know, what would you like to know? He said, there's something that I don't understand. I said, what's that? He said, well, you know, after the earthquake, we were all sleeping outside because the hotels were all destroyed and so on and so forth. And he said, in the middle of the night, we heard this strange noise of people singing. He said, we didn't know what it was. And he said, we got up and we went to where these people were. And he said, here were these Haitian men standing, singing praises in the aftermath of an earthquake that killed hundreds of thousands. Giving thanks in all circumstances is not easy to do, but some have indeed mastered the impossible, or what seems to be the impossible art of giving thanks in all circumstances. He said, I don't understand that. Unless you understand Jesus, unless you understand what he has done, you will not understand it, right? There always sees something to be going on in the world around these people or in their personal world. Sorry. Lost my place there. On the other hand, I've met people whose day-to-day attitude is characterized by bitterness and negativity. Have you met some people like that? I guess I'm the only one. Or you've all fallen asleep. Sometimes people just, you know, you say, well, it's a nice day. And they'll say, well, tomorrow calls for rain. They just have that air of doom and gloom about them. There's always something going on in the world around them or in their personal world that provides cause for bitterness. I've even heard it from seniors. You say, the government decided to give seniors an extra $500. Amen. And some people say, well, that's coming out of my pocketbook. Do you know that I happen to believe that practicing, not just reading, but practicing Paul's teaching to be thankful in all circumstances, I happen to believe that that is the spiritual antidote for bitterness and negativity. Would you agree with me in that?
Yeah.
If people could just lock on to the many things that we have around us day in and day out, and if we could develop the habit of being thankful for all of these things, whether they're little or small, whether they're big and gigantic, the spirit of bitterness, the spirit of negativity would flee from us, because I believe that that negativity and that darkness comes from the evil one himself. And people need to be delivered of it. There's a man named Johnson Oatman, who's probably not a kitchen name. And he seems to have heard and applied Paul's instruction. Now, perhaps you're not familiar with that name, but he was the author of a hymn that you're very familiar with today, entitled Count Your Blessings. That hymn, Count Your Blessings, has positively impacted millions of believers around the world. And I would submit to you, many other people who are not necessarily believers but have heard that song one way or another. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Name them one by one. You know, there's an interesting quirk, if you will, of our brains that some of you have been out of school for a while, but you probably remember when you were taking notes, when you were getting ready for exams. If you exercise the discipline to write down the points that the teacher was making on the board, or as you read through the textbook, and you took the discipline, the physical act of writing down, you probably, if you're like me, learned that it was a lot easier to remember those facts because of the action of writing it down. I think that this is what Mr. Oatman's getting here when he says, count your many blessings. Take the discipline to actually spend some time naming your many blessings. And not only will you remember them, you will be prompted to be thankful for them. Practicing thankfulness can lift us from the doldrums of negativity into a positive new place. Perhaps this is what Mr. Oatman was alluding to in the lyrics of another one of his 2,000 hymns. Can you imagine writing 2,000 hymns? This man must have been thankful for a lot of things to be able to write that many hymns. Here's an old hymn I just love. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. By faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to submit to you that a higher plane on heaven's tableland cannot possibly be a plane of negativity, cannot possibly be a plane of bitterness. It has to be a plane of thankfulness and praise and worship to our God and our King.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So the next little exercise I would like you to conduct is to think once again about those three biggies in your life that are you, that are most, you are most thankful for. Can you bring them back to your mind now, those three? Three biggies? In Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 41, Jesus made an interesting point for his disciples. He says, two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which one of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. The point here is that our response to the blessings received in our lives, our thankfulness, should be proportional to what we have received. For example, if you pass me a candy on the way out of the door today, a simple thank you might be appropriate. But if I were to call you on at 2 a.m. on a stormy February night here in Bruce County and ask you to get dressed and put on all your winter clothes and come with your truck and a blinding snowstorm to pull me out of the ditch, I feel something significantly more than a verbal response would be required. Particularly if you knew that I was out there doing something stupid to begin with. So think about this. The degree to which we respond to an act of kindness or blessing in our lives should be relative to the significance of the gift. So I've asked you to think about those three big things in your life. What has been your reaction or your response to them? What are you prepared to do, or perhaps what have you already done to show your appreciation? In the course of our lives, every one of us will receive many acts of kindness from others, both big and small. If we are truly thankful, we will be responding in a variety of ways, hopefully appropriately tailored to the blessing we receive. And you know, there's numbers of ways to do that. In some cases, a word or a card. In other cases, a commitment to repay the favor. Maybe a gift is in order. Lots of different ways. But here's the question and the thought that I want to leave with you this morning. What about the blessings that we receive from the Lord? What about all of those thank you slides that I showed you a few moments ago, the things that the Lord has made possible, the things that the Lord has done for us? I hope the words, thank you, Jesus, that we shared are an integral part of your heart's song today. In Luke chapter 17, we find the story of 10 lepers who were healed by Jesus, but only one returned to thank him. Unfortunately, the ability to quickly forget our blessings may still be with us today. Now, words of thankfulness are certainly important, and we must not forget words of thankfulness to everyone, and certainly to our Lord. But surely, given the nature of the unspeakable gifts that we have received, surely appropriate thankfulness would be more than just words. And I would submit to you that the only other option beyond words to demonstrate our thankfulness to our Lord is our commitment to serve the one who is the source of our blessings. I'm into music this morning. Maybe you've noticed that. There's an old Gaither chorus. The first two lines go this way. I will serve you because I love you. You have given life to me. We all believe that life is a gift from God. Our lives, every moment, every day, every additional breath that we take, every new day that he gives us, are a gift from God. How will we thank him? Add to that the spiritual gifts we mentioned earlier, and surely we should be able to sing that old Gaither song as a song of thankfulness, but also as a song of commitment. To serve as an act of thanksgiving to Jesus, who is indeed the unspeakable gift. Thanks be to Jesus, the unspeakable gift. I will serve him because I love him. I hope that's your song today. Amen. Lord, as we close today, may your Spirit connect with us, not just today, not just tomorrow, but every day of our lives, encouraging us to be people who are disciplined in the giving of thanks through our words, through our prayers, through our devotional times, through our church services. Also motivating us to be those who give thanks on a spontaneous basis from all that we see around us. Help us be disciplined in that area. But Lord, in consideration of all you have done for us, may we also be committed to serve you as a demonstration of our love for you and what you have done. Bless your people as they make this commitment. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.